Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening. Good morning. It's 7:35. I am Austin Hill. Glad to have you with us here on the Faith Radio Network, where we talk about issues that really do matter as we seek to connect our faith to our daily lives. What do you think of when you hear the word marriage? These days, more often than not, we hear very bad news about marriage. We may hear about faulty public policy that seeks to redefine marriage in our culture. We hear about marriages falling apart. We hear about people being disinterested in marriage. Would you believe that there's actually some good news about marriage in America? My next guest is a former Wall Street analyst who, for the last decade and a half or so, has been a prolific voice on men and women and how they relate to each other, how they don't relate to each other so well, how they can improve their relationships, and how they can improve their marriages. Her brand new book, The Good News About Marriage, is said to be a game changer in terms of how we understand marriage in our world today. Shanti Feldhahn joins us on the guest line here on Austin Hill in the Morning. Shanti Feldhahn, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, I'm so glad to be with you. Thanks.
Your book is said to be based on an 8-year research study into what you characterize as the true divorce rate in America. I'm wondering what prompted you to look at the divorce rate, and what's the true divorce rate compared to, I guess, the false divorce rate, or how divorce is portrayed?
Yeah, what prompted me, you know, just a little light reading into, you know, reading some government statistics.
Oh, yeah, shucks, no. pour a cup of coffee.
Yeah, this started completely unexpectedly about 8 years ago. I don't know if you knew this, I used to be a syndicated newspaper columnist.
I remember it well.
Yeah, and I wanted to write a column on divorce, and I asked my research assistant, go find me the divorce rate, because it may not be actually 50% exactly. It might be, 48.7 or... And she came back so confused, and we started looking into this a little more. And as I started investigating this, I realized that the numbers I was seeing didn't match some of the conventional wisdom that we've all heard that's really discouraging. Some of them did, but some of them didn't, and I didn't know how they could all be true. And I really felt spurred to start digging into this more. And as I started uncovering some truths and sort of figuring out what is wrong in some cases with a lot of what we've tended to believe, I realized this is a pretty big deal, because what we believe about marriage and kind of the discouragement that we have actually kills marriages.
That's very interesting. And to your point, this notion that, quote unquote, 50% of all marriages end in divorce. I hear that reiterated from pulpits by pastors, or at least I certainly have over the years. Are we discouraging good marriages in the church?
Yes, we definitely are, because here's what happens, and you've probably seen this, I'm sure your listeners have seen this, is that when somebody is really discouraged already in their marriage, once they start thinking we're not going to make it, it becomes really easy to think, well, 50% of other people couldn't make it either, and it makes it really easy to give up. Mm-hmm. And as I started looking at these numbers, I realized what I was seeing was this. It's still not perfect, but it's massively good news. Let me give you an example.
Please.
One of the things, let's talk about the 50% divorce rate, for example. One of the things that I found that it is a very, very good number from the Census Bureau, this is not some little sideline study, by the way, but according to the Census Bureau, as you and I are sitting here talking, 71% of people are still married to their first spouse.
That's a pretty big deal.
It's a huge deal. I'm like, why haven't we heard this before? And the 29% that aren't, a big chunk of that is actually people that were married for 50 years and their spouse died.
Mm-hmm.
That's just marriages that have ended. Now, and here's the problem, Austin. We don't know what the first marriage divorce rate actually is. And I think that's the reason the myths get started, because we're kind of a soundbite culture.
Very much.
And so we don't know exactly, but we can get closer. There's some different things, like there's about a 14% rate of widowhood. There's some various things that play in. But we can estimate that, it has to be less than 29%, because that's death and divorce. We can estimate it's probably closer to somewhere like 20 to 25% of first marriages. Now, that's still too high, but it's a whole lot better. And it means that you can look a couple that's getting married in the eye. You can look somebody that's having trouble in the eye and say, you know what? Most marriages are strong and happy for a lifetime. You can get through this, because most people do. Hmm. Completely different feeling that couple is going to have.
Very much so. Shanti Feldhahn, her brand new book is called The Good News About Marriage. It is described as a game changer in the way we understand and perceive marriage in our culture and around the world today. She's on our guest line here on the Faith Radio Network. The implications here seem to me to be quite significant, Shanti. But I have to ask, what, in your view, given the way this gets construed and falsified, quite frankly, the reality mm-hmm. of a marriage in America today, what is the biggest threat to marriage as you see it?
You know, it's interesting. It is really easy to talk about the biggest threat to marriage being divorce and all of our ministries and our efforts trying to prevent divorce. And believe me, I'm right in there. You know, that's a lot of my work is trying to help people understand the things that'll help their marriages succeed. But, you know, what I realized truly, it's not divorce that's the greatest threat. It's discouragement. That's what leads to divorce. All the ministries that we've got, it's really about bringing hope. And that is what we're lacking in our culture. You know, everybody thinks of marriage as being this institution that's broken. Well, you know what? Despite all we've done to kill it, as I've seen these statistics, I realize this institution God created, it still works. Mm-hmm. Despite all we've done to try to break it. And you know, I think also I'd love to talk about, if it's okay with you, I'd love to talk about the implications in the faith community. Because I know that's where we're also very discouraged.
Well, let's talk about the implications specifically among Christians. What is this? How is this a game changer among Christian churches, even just in America?
Well, you know, we've all heard our pastors say that the rate of divorce is the same in the church. And I will tell you, behind the scenes, our pastors are discouraged. You know, I speak at about maybe 50 churches a year, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I talk to a lot of these guys, you know, behind the scenes in the green room, and they tell me behind the scenes that has sucked the life out of them, because they stand on stage and they look out over their congregation and they say, if it's true that the rate of divorce here, despite all my hard work, is the same as it is out there, it means all my work doesn't mean very much.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I mean, think about how discouraging that would be. And the truth is so different. And we have been truly dealing with a major misunderstanding. And so here's what it is. Everybody thinks that George Barna found that the rate of divorce is the same in the church. And he didn't. That isn't even what he was trying to study. George Barna never studied people in the church. What he was only studying was belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
So when you call people on the phone and you ask the "Are you a Christian?" questions, the people who said, "Yes, I'm a Christian," or "I'm a Muslim," or "No, I'm an atheist," you know, those people, those groups had the same divorce rates. But Barna specifically excluded whether they went to church from the analysis, because that wasn't what he was trying to study. So what I did is I partnered with Barna and I bought their data. And we reran all those numbers, but just with the one thing added in of, you know, was the person in church last week? And if they were, the divorce rate dropped by 27%.
Jeez, that's a very substantial figure. Stand by for more, Shanti. Shanti Feldhahn, author of The Good News About Marriage. She is our guest here on the Faith Radio Network. We'll continue with her in just moments. Yeah, this is a game changer, what you're hearing, right? More with Shanti Feldhahn in moments. It's 7:45. I'm Austin Hill. Forever, 7:47 on the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. I'm your weekday morning 6 till 8. Thank you for being a part of our program. Shanti Feldhahn, a prolific author, a prolific voice For a time such as this on the issue of marriage, she has a new book out extolling the good news about marriage. Shanti, I want to ask you about a phenomenon that we've seen unfold over the last, 5 or 6 years or so, really since the market meltdown and the onset of what some people characterize as the Great Recession back in 07, 08. And I know you come from a background in economics and public policy, and you're good with statistics. But I'm not even sure if this is true, based on some of the things that you're telling us today. I believe this is accurate, that with the onset of the very painful recession that in the minds of many was real close to a depression, we saw a decline in marriages ending. We saw a decline in people splitting up. Presumably, at least this is the way it's portrayed, presumably husbands and wives staying together because they really didn't have a whole lot of economic options to do otherwise. And we kind of tend to forget sometimes that it costs more to operate two separate households than it does cost to operate one. Now that the economy has been improving over the last 18 months to 2 years or so, there is this portrayal anyway of an uptick in divorces. Comment, if you would, whether that perception that I have and that a lot of people have is even accurate. And comment, if you would, please, on economic need being an incentive for people to stay together.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Well, first of all, on your last question, you know, it is actually the economics of splitting up is one of the things that keeps people together. But it actually turns out to be a good thing, because if you stay together for 6 months just because the economics would be difficult, you might find you like each other again. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's actually one of the things that leads to reconciliation. That's some other research that I've done over the years, just hanging out together. It really, as long as you're hanging out as friends and you're trying to spend time together, you kind of rediscover why you liked each other to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in answer to your question, though, it's really interesting. Yes, technically, people were more staying together because it would cost too much to split up. And so technically, yes, there's probably been a small increase now that things have gotten better in some of those people moving ahead with divorce. But it's fascinating how the news makes something really big, a really big story, out of something that's really not that big in numbers. And it leads to this perception of this wave of divorces. The reality is the divorce rates have continued to go down. So yes, there's probably some people for whom they delayed it and they went ahead and took that step. But divorce rates overall have continued to decline.
Mm.
And a lot of people aren't aware of that. They're not aware of the fact that, yeah, we had a spike in divorces in the 1970s when no-fault divorce came into being. You know, because it started getting easy to get a divorce.
Sure.
You didn't have to convince somebody there was a reason. But that hit a peak in 1980 because people saw very quickly the chaos that caused. And the divorce rates have come down more than 30% since then. People aren't aware of the fact that we still have these issues, but we've had some really good trends that are worth celebrating and telling people, yeah, you know what, you might have a close friend that got divorced. You might have had somebody in your church that had a moral failure, you know, and that's tragic, and it does happen. But those are the exceptions. Those aren't the rules. We have to get people thinking again about the fact that, you know, most marriages today, they're not perfect, but they truly are lasting a lifetime.
Shanti Feldhahn, author of The Good News About Marriage. She's on our guest line here on Austin Hill in the Morning. Shanti, a follow-up question. What would you say to the person who's listening in on our conversation and they hear you say things like, well, if you hang out long enough with each other, you might discover you like each other again, and that can be a healing sort of thing. They're hearing these little anecdotal references here that you're making about how marriages recover and get back on track and heal, and they're saying, gosh, I want that for myself. What I need that for my spouse and I. What would you say to that person?
Oh, I would encourage you. If you're in that situation, here's one of the biggest things that you need to know. Sort of take a deep breath and recognize that there are often, now, unfortunately, not always, but there are often some little things that people just don't even know to do them. It's easy to think of fixing a marriage that isn't doing so well as kind of, oh my gosh, it's going to require 3 years of psychotherapy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and sometimes it does. Let's not sugarcoat that. Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes it does. But in most cases, what I've found in all these years of research is that in most cases, you've got a husband and a wife who care about each other. And they love each other, and they appreciate each other, and they're trying hard. They just don't realize they're trying hard in the wrong areas sometimes, mm-hmm. when they're hurting each other without intending to. And so that's where, and if you don't mind, Austin, just really briefly, let me just mention, dive over into the research for all my other books that I've done on what makes those marriages happy and how to do that. It can so often be the little things, like, for example, you're a wife who has been saying, I love you, I love you, I love you to her husband, and trying to do these loving things, and has no idea that that's not what he most needs, and that it's really painful when you criticize him and say, you know, why did you forget the dry cleaning again? I can't believe you forgot the dry cleaning again. You know, that for a guy is his most painful thing, because he most needs to feel your appreciation and the fact that you believe in him and you admire him. And so if you start noticing the things he does and you start saying, you know, thank you so much for mowing the lawn, even though it was so hot outside. Or, you know, oh my gosh, you took the kids out and played ball even though you were so tired from work. You're such a good dad. You may think those things today and just not know to say them. You start saying them, you're going to see this light come back into your husband's eyes and this joy come back into your relationship. And it was based on you just didn't know that you were doing things that were hurting him. Though that's an example of some little things that isn't rocket science, that we just don't know to do for one another. Mm-hmm. And so that, to me, is one of the big encouragements, is that, you know, it doesn't require rocket science, usually, to fix a troubled marriage. We can really be encouraged and encourage one another.
Shanti Feldhahn, author of The Good News About Marriage. It's a brand new book from her. You perhaps are familiar with some of her previous books on marriage and offering help and healing, if you will, for troubled couples. She's a statistician. If anybody knows how to crunch the numbers and dive into the data, it's Shanti Feldhahn. Here's the reality. And we say that out of love, of course, Shanti.
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
we're all jealous of the person who got an A in statistics class, right? But seriously, this is the data that corrects the ship. It is indeed a game changer in how marriage really is going in our culture, in our country, in our world. Just real quick, 30 seconds, the person who says, man, I want people in my church to know about this. What do you tell them?
Yeah, I would really, really encourage you, especially if you're listening and you have a pastor, a counselor who needs to know this, get this book into their hands, because those are the people that are most discouraged. And if you get it into their hands as the leader, everybody else is going to hear about it and hear the truth and be encouraged as well.
Get all the info at shanti.com. That's shaunti.com. Shanti Feldhahn, author of the Good News About Marriage. Shanti, thanks as always for what you do. I'll look forward to talking
Appreciate
to you again
that.
Soon.
Thanks so much.
Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.